And, you know, people don't know I gesticulate wildly constantly.
And they do know that I do. So.
Every picture I have, your hands are blurred.
Right. That's probably right.
It is. And if you don't believe me, I just posted a picture of Facebook from Terry's last visit here, and she's giving it hell.
Yeah. I have my fingers crossed right here. Laced, I should say. Yeah. My fingers laced, trying not to talk with my hands.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. I believe in it. You know, the subject of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a radio guy yesterday. He says, you know, we keep talking about the budget. How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep talking about something that's been gone over and gone over and gone over? Well, this year, the Senate's efforts to address this have done something to change our point of view here and the conversation. But the unfortunate fact is, from all appearances, the Senate grand bargain is not getting the necessary Republican support nor the Democratic support. It needs to move forward in a solid fashion.
Well, I think in any negotiation, you'll find that good negotiations have somebody just a little bit upset and somebody just a little bit happy, and hopefully somewhere in there you meet in the middle. So there are some issues in the grand bargain that Republicans really hate. The idea of tax increases is not something that's pleasant to talk about. There are some things in there that my Democrat colleagues hate as well. They a lot of times don't want to talk about cuts. But as you know, you and I have talked before, and I think Senator Luchtefeld mentioned many, many times, to get us out of the mess that we're in right now, it's probably going to take a combination of cuts, maybe some new taxes, and definitely some reforms, because we can't keep doing business the way we have in the past.
All right, but the cuts are the part that I think in the recipe that seemed to be missing to get, I call it the Luchtefeld situation,
mm-hmm.
because this is something that he spoke about over, to the point of where I would accept a tax increase. I have to see something else on the other end for the constituents.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, I don't see anything for the constituents. I think what is perceived to be for us would be a property tax freeze.
Yeah, the property, making the property tax freeze permanent if we make the income tax increase permanent, or at least that's what Governor Rauner seems to be asking for. There are pretty significant cuts to higher education in the grand bargain, which has me somewhat concerned.
Especially
so,
when in the State of the Budget address he talked about he wanted MAP funding increases, but we're cutting I just heard this in the last
general operating funds.
General operating, and so the idea would be cut it from there and put it in there? Is that?
Yeah, and that's a little bit troublesome, and I'm sure if Randy Dunn is listening or Brad Caldwell is listening right now, they're probably saying amen, sister, because the problem is that I fully support the MAP grants, but MAP grant money also goes to public colleges. So you could have the dynamic of students in public colleges getting MAP grant money while general operating expenses to public universities is being cut.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what we ran in up against last year when we had that $600 million to disperse. We had money that was going to be given in MAP grant money, but zero money given to community colleges and zero money given to four of the public universities, including SIU. We can't have that happen again.
All right. I'm confused about something. Okay. I think you can help. The money that goes to higher education,
mm-hmm.
that money is also for the pension system for our higher education too, isn't it?
You know what, Tom? I can't answer that question.
I think they're separate. Are they?
But
okay.
At the same time, if that makes sense. So you do have to fund the pension system in higher education. But the and that may be what comes out of part of their general fund. And but I'm, you know, I just got on the higher ed.
Well, I read something, and you know, now I'm so hinky about everything I read. I want to read it from five people who I trust, and I don't trust five people.
Yeah, it's part of why I asked to get on the higher ed committee this year is I want to be better versed in what's going on. Certainly at SIU, best way to do that is to get in with both feet, and you do that by getting on the committee.
Yeah, getting on that committee for higher education. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I read your press release, and you came out rather stridently against the Attorney General's efforts to have state employees' paychecks stopped, more accurately, to reverse the judge's decision to continue paychecks, if you want to be intellectually honest.
Sure. So I believe she's playing some political games here. I heard Representative Phelps yesterday mention some of what those games are. We need to not be messing with people's lives. People are running the risk of losing their homes, losing their cars. Just like we need to pay vendors, we also need to keep all of our services going. Those state employees fill in very important roles, you know, public aid, Department of Corrections, Veterans Affairs, all of those areas. You have to have those folks paid so they come to work every day.
Yeah. Because those jobs go on 24/7.
Right. So it isn't just a matter of the income that they will lose. It's the services that will be lost if those folks are not paid. So I was the chief co-sponsor on a bill that Representative Avery Bourne is running that makes state employee payroll a continuing appropriation. So they would fall into where legislators and judges are. So you don't have to rehash this every year. The unfortunate thing is there is another representative from the Springfield area, Sue Shearer, who is running a bill also to pay state employees, but hers only goes to the end of this fiscal year. And so there was an attempt by Representative Bourne to meet with Representative Shearer to try to put those two bills together. And Representative Bourne actually offered to make the amendment and then transfer the bill over to Representative Shearer so it could be run by a Democrat if that's what the holdup was. Unfortunately, so far we have not seen Representative Shearer agree to the amendment, which would make it a continuing appropriation, but then would also have a limited dollar amount. So I'm getting in the weeds a little bit, but Representative Bourne's bill did not have a top level. So an agency director could come in and just say, oh, I'm going to hire 200 people and I'm paying whatever I want to pay. So we had to have a stop for
bookended.
Yeah, bookended is a great way to say it. Thank you.
Yeah, to bookend both, because right. We forget that sometimes.
So if we get that amendment, then I think that the two bills can come together in a way that we can get state employees paid on a continuing appropriation.
Was the attempt to stop payroll to state employees an attempt to put a gun to the head of legislatures so they got a budget passed no matter what and got the tax increases that the Democrats wanted?
That's the feel right now. And I know that there doesn't seem to be a stomach on the speaker's side to have any kind of reforms. So the tax increases, although you'll get inklings of folks who will agree that we have to have some form of increased revenue, we're not going to do it without some kind of reform. And the ones that keep getting mentioned over and over, not to make this partisan, but the Democrat side of the aisle is always the ones that have to do with collective bargaining. To my understanding, the governor has taken right to work off the table and at this point is saying we need reforms in property tax, we need a property tax freeze, and we need workers' compensation reform. And that is a must to bring businesses back into our state.
All right. Yeah, but we say, hey, we want to bring businesses back in the state. We're going to do workers' comp. But, you know, that attraction ends rather briefly when you see the largest tax increase in corporate America.
Well, that's true.
So you're going, hey, guess what we're doing? We're doing workers' comp. We've already done that, and you didn't see the savings from it. Now we're going to do it again, and we're going to tax you more. It's not going to fix it. You and I both know that.
No, it won't fix it as long as what we saw last time with the income tax increase was a continuing of spending. So we have to freeze spending. We have to continue to look for the waste, fraud, and abuse, some of which has been pointed out. But we may have to have a revenue increase. But I'm not going to support
9.25% is in the Senate grand bargain. Corporate income tax would go to 9.25%.
Yeah. Yes. And that is not acceptable. So we have to continue to negotiate this. And all I keep hearing now is a stopgap budget. Well, you know, stopgap is not the answer. We need a full budget.
Now, Terry, if you say, hey, look, well, we're going to use a stopgap budget, really what we're saying is that the court, by judicial fiat, will decide where the money goes. I mean, with the stopgap measure in and of itself is one thing, but the fact that courts require spending in certain areas because of past lawsuits, so even if you make a stopgap measure, it's still the judge, the court order.
It's still the judge. If we get a full budget, a full year's budget, then the court orders actually would end because you go back to the funding of a full year's budget.
Right.
Those court orders take us back to the funding,
the last
budget, which was 2015.
Oh yeah.
So if we have a new budget, then the court orders, if those court orders had to be in effect for some weird reason, then you would go to the funding levels of the 2018 fiscal year. But we are going to have to do something about what's left over from fiscal 2017. What I would like to see is a full budget for fiscal 2018 and then clear up the mess that we've left from 2017. So I don't think we can do anything for the rest of 2017 until we actually have a full budget for 2018.
So the bleeding continues. The arterial spurt. It continues when it comes to money in the state.
Well, it appears so, because we can't get the leaders on the same page.
When it comes to reaching out to the public, I have noticed that you have done a lot of that since the last election cycle. You are literally going out on social media and saying, what do you think? Everybody, come on. You really, and people are colorful, aren't they?
They are. We just ask them to be respectful, because I am actually trying to get feedback from them. So we just we're doing a online right now request on people's responses to the sugary drink tax, and I also sent out my 2017 legislative survey. So there's I think 10-12 questions on there.
I thought the sugary tax thing was dead.
Well, I thought it was too, but you know what? Nothing in Springfield dies. So once there's a piece of legislation, it gets tucked away for a little while, and then someone
shows up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. So we have to continue to work on killing that. People really don't understand. It isn't just about soda. It's about anything that has sweetener in it. In fact, I went to a dinner with the Wine Growers Association, or Wine Association, and it could be Illinois wines, because some of them have more than 5% sugar in them. It can be flavored waters. In my view, anything that is bottled, boxed, or canned is in danger of that tax.
Something that we're going to have to watch, because like you said, and you know what, there's nothing truer that's ever been said than nothing dies in Springfield.
Right.
It will come back another day, and at very surprising times, because somebody is, well, we'll call it political strategy, but it's actually duplicity. Let's go ahead and call it what it is. Last year, for a freshman legislator,
mm-hmm.
you got a very big piece of legislation passed.
I did, with Molly's Law.
With Molly's Law.
Sure.
Do you have a piece of legislation that you aspire to that you can equate on some grand level, maybe even with this? What are you working on right now?
I don't know that it would have as much, the bills that I'm running this year would have as much impact, say, as Molly's Law is having. It's actually being run in some law journals in other parts of the country right now. But there are I do have some good pieces of legislation. One that I'm very proud of, I hope that we're able to get through, for veterans. Right now, if a veteran is declared 100% disabled, they have to recertify every year, which is kind of ridiculous. If you are permanently 100% disabled, why would you have to recertify every year? So this bill basically says that once you are certified, you would not have to continue to do that. So I'm real, real proud of that. When we have some that are really important locally, maybe not, on the grand scheme that Molly's Law was, but
at least it's not the apocalypse law. It's not zombie. It's not
right.
The zombie apocalypse bill. So I'm
wish
happy
they'd have framed,
in my representative.
I wish they would have framed that zombie apocalypse one a little bit better. It was really about being prepared for natural disaster, but now probably wasn't the time to run that bill.
Yeah, and it just leaves the legislature and the entire body in Springfield and politics that is already hobbled and dragging its foot down the street up to a certain amount of comic ridicule.
It really does. And the speaker
and
keeps
not
canceling
just
days.
And canceling days.
Right. So we have a lot of work to do. Even if we're not on the House floor, committees should be meeting. And last week I had two committees that were meeting at exactly the same time, and a bill I had to run through another committee, because they're jamming all the committees together because the speaker keeps canceling days and calling bills like the zombie apocalypse rather than what we should be doing with the budget.
Yeah. And that's the singular approach. What do you consider the deadline this year? And when I say deadline, in retrospect, in respect to the school funding education, because, the teachers, superintendents all start getting a little bit hinky about now, wondering what happens next year because of the laws that say they have to do things so far in advance when it comes to people. So they all set and wait And what do you consider the deadline this year under these circumstances? And I know that's unique, Terry.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to. Everyone's very nervous right now. I would say as we start to get into the latter part of March, definitely into April, we're running into some real issues in higher education, and for just for K-12, they need to know what operating money they have for next year. They're going to need to start looking at hiring teachers, hiring substitutes and stuff for next year, and that the later we get into this year, the more difficult that becomes to manage their money.
You know what I'm worried about right now? Moody's is going to go, you know, Fitch's has had their word. It's about time for us to say something again.
Right. And, you know, part of the grand bargain is borrowing money.
And that'll just drive Moody's right out to downgrade us again.
Sure.
They will.
Well, they may not downgrade us as long as we have a long-term plan. So if we have a long-term plan in place, that what they don't want to see is a temporary income tax increase again. They either want us to get our stuff together, or if it has to be a tax increase, that it's one that's permanent. And we can always say later that we can step those things backwards. One thing for sure, I do not want a tax increase unless we change the way we're doing business, because it wasn't effective last time. It will not be effective again. There's some folks in Springfield that all they ever look at is a honeypot. When they see a honeypot, it's spend, spend, spend. It's never pay your debts down, and we've got to get these debts paid down.
Read something yesterday. I'm going to have to paraphrase. It's easy to be compassionate when you're using other people's money. It's easy to be conspicuously compassionate when you're spending other people's money, I believe was a quote I read yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of what I heard. You said, honeypot, guess what? I can make a lot of impression of people happy, and it's not my money.
That's right. And again, maybe that's what goes back to the term limits thing. You know, if you think you're going to be there for a long, long time, then you certainly want to keep spending money, whether it, you know, pork projects, whatever it happens to be. If you know you're going to be there for a short time, then those honeypots are not so attractive because you really want to leave a legacy. I think folks that would be there for only 10 years, they want to make sure when they're gone that they've left some kind of positive impression rather than trying to make sure they get reelected over and over again.
Well, it's good that you use the word positive before impression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
right.
There has certainly been an impression, but it's not always positive.
Right.
And that is probably where we're at right now. Crisis of faith, you want to call it that. You want to call it, I mean, a lot of people got some very colorful names for the situation
sure.
we find ourselves in now.
Yeah, they don't trust their government, and for good reason.
Yeah, and how do you take that? You take that personally?
No, the way I took it was I ran for office because I wanted to affect change. So I'm, you know, every day I wake up.
I want to run for office and affect change too, mm-hmm. but I also look at the fact that, you know, it's like a pastime of saying, would you mind if I find this 2-foot square concrete wall and ram my face into it for 18 months?
Some days it feels like that, but then you have days that you get something like Molly's Law. I have another bill right now that came from a DUI accident in Mount Vernon where a guy ran into was a gas line. And the gas line blew up, and 30 families were out of their apartments.
I know the story.
And then there was no way to effectively charge the guy for the damages that were done monetarily. So I actually have a bill that will cause, in those DUI cases, someone to have to pay damages. So you can affect change when you get there. We are very focused right now on the budget. We're going to get through this budget crisis at some point. But you have to go and fight for things. I'm a pro-lifer. And there is a horrible bill right now, House Bill 40, that expands abortion to the point of...
Is that the one the legislator said, we're just doing this so we can send a signal to Trump?
I literally read this in the Associated Press. It allows for abortions for any reason, at any stage, and uses taxpayer money through Medicaid, which would cost us about another $1.2 million minimum. So those are things, I like what Senator Luchtefeld always said. He said, I don't know if I did anything good while I was in office, but I stopped a lot of bad things. And I'm part of what I do in Springfield is try to stop a lot of bad things, whether it's social stuff or whether it's fiscal issues.
Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Terry, thanks so much for your time.